Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during the broadcast, you can email them to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I would like to jump in right away and welcome my co-hostess for tonight, Coach Suzette Vernon. Hi, Suzette.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you doing?
Good. Happy July 4th weekend to you.
Same to you.
It's so good to hear from you on this holiday weekend.
I know. It's been a long time.
It has been. How are things in North Carolina? Is it hot down there?
Yes. It's been pretty much rainy all day today, actually. And so it's been that good kind of stay-in-the-house weather and watch movies.
With your wonderful husband, right?
Well, no, he works on weekends, unfortunately. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then you can just watch him by yourself, and that's good, too.
Yes, that way I get to watch, like, Hallmark or something like that without him going, oh.
Those women's movies for women, right?
Yes, yes, and I love them.
Yes, a lot of women do, and especially once you find romance again, then they have even a greater meaning to you. You know, one of the topics, one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, of course, is your seminar that you're putting together. This is your second seminar of such, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And this is going to be happening in August, and we're going to be announcing it to the women who, you know, in our newsletter, and I let women in our support network know about this. And
yeah.
Why don't you talk to them a little bit about it?
Sure, sure. The name of it is You Ask, Good Men Answer. And as Bonnie said, this is our second one. It is a virtual summit, meaning that you can, you know, dial in. You can dial in or log in via your electronic device. And so it's really great. I've assembled 18 great men, not just good men, but great men, who are all talking about, you know, how men think and all that. But we wanted to take it to a higher level, not just why didn't he call, you know, why is he MIA, all the why questions we women have. But what we wanted to do this time was raise it to a higher vibration. And so our theme is kings, princes, and fools. What good men want you to know and bad men will never tell you.
So this is your second time doing this, Suzette, right?
Yes, it is.
So are some of the men repeats and some new ones, or are they all new ones?
Well, there have been a couple that have come back who were really, really, really compelling from last year. But for the most part, it's fresh, new voices.
Okay, good. And when you had the seminar last year, what do you think the women gained out of it?
Well, I think they gained, for the most part, with it starting out the gate, I think they gained, number one, having men who really, number one, wanted to pay attention to them and empower them, first of all. And secondly, the women were able to ask me questions ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able, during the interview, to ask these men specific questions that were on the minds of the women. So they had an opportunity to get feedback on their burning questions, which was really quite good. And, of course, like I said, this year we're taking it to a higher vibration because a lot of our women comprise the demographic, you know, college-educated women over 30, women over 40, and women of color, all whom the statistics have not been favorable towards. So, you know, having that demographic, these are women who are movers and shakers. They own businesses. You know, they've raised children. A lot of them are caretakers now with their parents. You know, they're evolved women. They're conscious women. And so
mm-hmm.
rather than for us to kind of get caught in the same quagmire of the same questions, it's like, wait a minute, we have evolved. So we need to evolve the conversation about men, and this particular summit is helping us to recognize good men versus bad or unsuitable men. And I think for a lot of us women, that is so important because we've worked on ourselves and we've gotten ourselves together, but a lot of us still don't know how to recognize the difference between a good man and one who's just playing games.
And are they going to discuss that with the women, the difference?
Yes, the men are going to, they're going to keep it real because, like I said, just by the nature of the theme, kings, princes, and fools, you know, what good men want you to know and bad men will never tell you, that's going to decode a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean,
and
you
so
look at when I, when
how
you
did you recruit this team? I'm looking at a team of men. Suzette, how did you recruit this team?
Well, actually, I started vetting them. I started, you know, looking at YouTube, talking to different men. I went on different dating and relationship websites and so forth. And I just started
mm-hmm.
talking to them to see if their message resonated with mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see if there was consciousness to their conversation. Not just this is what you do to get a man, you know, like a 1, 2, 3, how to, not this kind of easy, breezy, manipulative type of thing, but people who want to really get down to the real core when it came to men and relationships.
So what's interesting is that you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have 18 different men, right?
Right.
From what I'm looking at 18
yes.
different faces, including
yes.
One man I'm familiar with because he seems to team up with you a lot. His name is Robert.
Yes. Yes. Can you believe it? Can you believe my husband is going to be one of the speakers? Now, you know.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And we also have our own Dr. Brian Hooper is going to speak, right?
Indeed. Indeed, yes. Indeed, yes. And I hope you can hear me better. I had my headset on, Bonnie, but I was hearing a reverb, so I cut it off.
Oh, okay, I hear you good.
Oh, good, good, good. But, yes, Dr. Brian is going to be one of the speakers. He was so phenomenal.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a really great guy. So
he is.
Even though, like I say, he's going to be a good blend in with all these other men because he can give it from another perspective altogether as a therapist and as a gay man.
Yeah, and that's what I tried to do, even in my vetting of men. I tried
mm-hmm.
to get men across the spectrum. You know, I know
mm-hmm.
we're dealing with millennials as well, so I got a musician, songwriter. You know, he travels and does all these different things, so he's in his in the 30s. And then I got
uh-huh.
more seasoned men like Dr. John Gray, the author
mm-hmm.
of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and Dr.
Wow.
D. Ivan Young. And, you know, so it's a nice, nice, diverse group of men. And what I love about this summit that, to me, makes it different from the others that you
mm-hmm.
find online is that I'm not just tooting experts, you know, dating experts, relationship experts, but I'm also bringing average men because
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, most of the men that our women are going to date are going to be men that they meet out and about in their regular lives. So why not have a microcosm
mm-hmm.
of these group of men talking about how to recognize them?
I think that's wonderful. So how do people
mm-hmm.
do that? It's broadcast free to the public, right? Do they have
yes,
to sign
is.
Up for it?
They have to register. They have to go to statisticsbedarned.com. I try to make it easier, Bonnie.
That's good. That's good.
And so if they go there, it'll take them directly to a page that will give them a little bit more information about
mm-hmm.
the summit, and it has links to register. So, yes, that I need everybody to register. And as a matter of fact, those who register now get entered into a drawing to win a $100 American Express gift card. So not too shabby.
That's wonderful. So let's say you enter to listen to this. Now, is it how? Explain a little more to us how this is done. Is there a certain
yes,
amount of people per day talking or times or what?
Yes, yes, they're going to be. Because last year I had just 10 men, so having
mm-hmm.
2 men per night, you know, Monday through Friday was doable. But with 18
mm-hmm.
men, it's a little bit more interesting. So every day, those that are on that have registered will get an email of the speakers who are going to be speaking.
Mm-hmm.
How to dial in to listen via cell phone or landline, or
mm-hmm.
how to get in online using your computer, your laptop, or your electronic device. Either way, you're able to dial in or log on to hear these speakers in real time. So that's the way that that's going to go. And then I will allow those that are, you know, out and about, busy, because it's kind of hard to listen to 18 men in 5 days. But I will allow all the speakers to have 24-hour replays. So
uh-huh.
it's going to make it easy for people in different time zones, you know, and all that. people who might be working during the time this airing, or, you know, might have had something else that they could not get out of or whatever, that they'll have 24 hours per speaker to be able to listen to them. So I've tried to be very conscious about, you know, our demographic of busy, purposeful women, and try to make sure they'll have an opportunity to listen to it. So,
well, this is an amazing undertaking. And, you know, I know not everybody's ready to listen to this, but a lot of our women are moving on, and it's time for them to listen to it because they need to know. You know, one of the things I want to discuss tonight with you, and it's kind of in line with this, you know, show that you're doing. And by the way, once again, for people who are part of my support network, this will be coming out in the upcoming newsletter. And also, you know, it's throughout the Straight Wives Club, you know, all over the place. You know, I'll have it all over for people to sign up. But, no problem. I understand somebody already signed up from just a little while ago. But the thing is this, and you're a coach and a life coach and a wonderful coach and a wonderful speaker. We're going to give a shout out to Barbara because she said you're her favorite. She gets so excited when you're on every month. But I do want to just, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people just love listening to you, Suzette. But I want to talk tonight about a subject that's, you know, a little concerning to me. And as a coach, I'd like to get your input on this. So for those of you who know Suzette, you know that she's traveled her journey, going through gay husband recovery, coming into her own, you know, going to a new place in life, doing wonderful, beautiful things as a coach, and as an author, and as a performer, and as a wonderful wife to a wonderful man right now. So she's run full circuit, and she's had her highs and her lows and her ups and her downs, and Suzette is always very willing to share that with us. Here's what my concern is, Suzette, and I see this happening with someone who's very close with me right now, but it does affect a lot of the other women who, you know, they're my sisters, you know, my heart is with all of them. And I see sometimes they make mistakes, and I think this is the problem. When you've been with a man for a long period of time, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25, some women have been with their husbands for 30 years, and they've been so emotionally devastated through these marriages as far as who they are and learning, you know, why they're feeling so defeated all the time. And then they finally understand it's because they have a gay husband who can never be like a straight husband to them. Even if they love them, it's loving like a sister. And as we say, you know, we don't get married to marry a brother. You know,
exactly.
That it really does detract away from what marriage is supposed to be about and what we're looking for in these marriages. But the problem that I find is that, you know, when you've settled for so little in all these years because you haven't been getting what you need, no matter how nice your gay husband is, it's still not the kind of marriage that will make you nurture and grow and thrive. You know, and you're constantly wondering what's going wrong in your life. So it's not the kind of marriage that makes you grow. And then you get out of the marriage. And now it's time for you to meet somebody again. The problem is that a lot of times women are just jumping without thinking. And then when they jump, they're willing to settle for so much less than what they deserve. Because they're thinking, well, now I have a straight man. Well, just because you have a straight man doesn't mean it's a right man or a good man.
That's
right. You know, I think that some of our women have been so sexually deprived for so long that when a man wants to have sex with them, they feel just so, you know, they feel just so validated. But straight men want to have sex.
I mean, nothing
personal to anybody, but that's what the way of the world is. And women just feel like they're being valued because men, you know, they're going with men who just want to have sex with them. You know, I always say it's not enough just to have a body in a relationship. You have to have a body and a soul. And if some guy isn't giving you his soul and he's just taking your body, then he's just duping you one more time, is the way I feel. How do you feel about that?
Oh, my God, I could answer that so many ways, but I wholeheartedly agree with you, Bonnie. And I know, because you know my story, I know what it's like to be deprived and all of a sudden those hunger pains hit you from somewhere that you didn't even know. It's almost like the way they describe people who've gotten addicted to crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
So they might have gone through the hit and go for days afterward thinking, oh, that didn't affect me. You know what? I was able to dodge that bullet. It ain't as addictive as they say it is. Then
mm-hmm.
10 days later, they get hit with a craving that's so intense for that drug that they almost lose their minds. And that's the way I kind of felt. I think that's the best description I can give it after I had been deprived, not once, but twice,
mm-hmm.
because I married him twice. So it's almost like the second time was insult to injury. There was this insatiable desire to have somebody want me. I don't think it was so much that I wanted to have the sex per se. I think I craved most somebody wanting me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anybody showed me the least little bit of attention, I was ready to jump them, rope them, lasso them, and take them home. And hold them, you know, hold them hostage.
Never
and,
let him go.
So, never let him
Time
go.
To
he
the
will
bed
never
post.
See the light of day. He will never see the light of day. But, you know, so for the women that feel that way, it is normal to feel that after you have been deprived. You know, that's just normal. If anybody has been starved, they're going to feel that way. But I think the higher part of us, the intelligent part of us, has to stand up and say, okay, this is natural, but I know what it is. I know what this is, and let me run, not walk. Don't collect $250 Monopoly players, but go straight to somebody that can help bring some sensibility and some context to what you're feeling, because that desire does not come from a place of wholeness. So therefore, you're not able to gauge or to choose wisely. And after your heart has been messed over for so long, you have to put yourself in a situation where somebody can help you to choose wisely and to see, not through rose-colored glasses or oversaturated hormones or dopamine or all these different things, but someone who can see clearly that you trust to help guide you through these feelings until you get to a point of feeling a little bit more stable. Because I was talking to a young, beautiful, beautiful woman not too long ago who contacted me because she had met somebody and she was very attracted to him, and she was a straight wife as well. And she really was like, okay, I'm nervous. Oh, God, I need somebody to talk me down. And when I talked to her, I simply told her this, which is very true. I said, you know what, even if you have not eaten for a while, you can't go into a grocery store and grab and start eating food without paying for it. Because no matter what you have dealt with, you're going to have to pay for what you eat, else you're going to be in trouble. I said,
mm-hmm.
returning to romance is the same way. Before you eat, you need to know what the payment is, because you're going to pay in some way. So you need to know what the payment is and whether you can afford it before you go back out there. And just because you're married to a gay husband does not change. That's the way those are the rules.
Well, I think a lot of women just have not been out there for so long. If you've been in a long-term marriage, and a lot of our women got married early, and you
mm-hmm.
know, maybe in their late teens, early 20s, and they didn't have a lot of dating experience.
Right.
And they've been in a relationship for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and they've been, you know, kind of stripped away as far as their self and their sexual esteem. And now they're trying to rediscover themselves, and they're very anxious to meet someone to validate them as women. And I always say that if you jump you're going to jump into the wrong swimming pool, so to say. And, you know, you're going to jump into a shallow pond. You know, you're going to hit your head. And there's not going to be any good coming out of it. And I know that women feel that need. So how do you work with that? You know, you went through it, you said.
I really did. And really the only thing that you can do is give yourself a healthy diet of truth. You've got to put yourself in a situation where you can hear truth. You got to be able to hear somebody else's voice besides the voice of your hunger. You've got to be able to hear somebody else's voice, because your own voice, you can't rely on it. You can't rely on it.
Right, it's giving you the wrong message at the moment.
Exactly.
You know, when it's giving you a message of desperation. And
exactly.
I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And I tell women, look, don't kick yourself in the back for doing it, because you're human. It's just that
exactly.
you have to be aware that there's a lot of predators out there looking for women, and they're looking for vulnerable women. That's who predators look for. And, you know, there's so many unsavory guys out there who are narcissistic, sociopaths, psychopaths, you name it. And they can see when you're coming out of a destructive marriage, because they can just look at you and see these things. I mean, it's the whole, you know, experience that you're giving off. They can tell it how
you... Sharks in the water.
Right?
Sharks in the water. Yeah, it's like you don't realize it, but you're bleeding. You're wounded.
Mm-hmm.
You're bleeding. And you're getting in the ocean. You know, when you get ready to start dating another man, you are getting into the ocean. You are getting into something that's deeper, that's beyond what you have done before. And so, you know, if you're bleeding in the ocean, sharks are attracted to blood in the water. And that's something we need to understand. As long as you are hemorrhaging, as long as you are bleeding, and you think you want to get back out and start dating, sharks are always attracted to blood in the water. So if you want to stop attracting sharks, you've got to deal with that wound and stop it from bleeding. You got to.
And it doesn't happen in just a few months or a year. You know, if you've been in a long-term relationship, it's a process. And like people say, well, how long does it take to heal? You know, there's no set time. And, you know, it's not like a race.
You don't heal until you heal. I mean, it's almost like telling somebody, how long does it take for you to get over the death of a loved one? You know, how do you move on and stop grieving? You don't move on and stop grieving until you move on and stop grieving. I mean, everybody's different, and especially with straight wives, depending on the intensity of the situation, how long you've been in it, how it affected you, how it made your options and choices tighter and smaller, all these things are going to affect how quickly you heal. So you can't rush it. It took you a long time to get where you are. So why do you expect that just because you've left him, now all of a sudden you're okay? No, I don't think so.
No, healing is a process, and, you know, you can move ahead and think you're doing fine, and then at the least amount of anything like post-traumatic stress, some incident takes place. You run into something, you see something, you go to a place where you were once before, and it drags you right back down. You know, when you talk about the grieving process, because when people lose somebody to death, you know, there's a better grieving process in the sense that you know that it's done. You know that he's not coming back or she's not coming back. You know, the person is finished. And that gives you some closure as far as being able to grieve. And they say good grieving, you know, really takes at least minimally a year to get past somebody's death, if not, you know, more, for somebody who dies. These marriages are different in the sense that you're grieving and the person's not dead. The person who you thought you had as your husband is dead, but there's a body remaining there that you're still looking at, and it's just not the same person, and you can't understand how this could happen. You know, and I hear it every day from women. I was married for 20 years. I was married for 22 years. All of a sudden now he tells me that he's gay. Why did he wait, you know, all this time? He didn't know this before. He wasn't gay before. I'm telling you, I had sex with him. We had children together. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they don't understand this. And this is something that's not understandable for many women. It takes a long time to understand it. But the whole grieving process is so different because the person you loved, you're still seeing that person, but he's not seeing you. You know, he's looking for someone else.
Yeah, and then what can also keep us women stuck is the simple fact of a lot of times we stay too long because we feel like we need to get him to admit that he's gay.
Get him to admit. Waiting for that impossible confession
that's
never going to come.
And it's not going to, you know, for some women it comes, but regardless of whether it comes or it doesn't, that, you know, we really use this word closure. I need closure. I need closure. And Bonnie, one of the things I learned is if you're waiting for your gay husband to give you closure, you're going to be waiting forever. You will not have life. You will not. You'll stay in situations. And I don't mean physically stay, but he'll still be all up in your head, all up in your emotions. He'll still be able to ring your buttons. He'll still be able to you know, manipulate you like a puppet.
You mean he'll still be able to give you false hope?
Exactly, or keep you so tied to the past that even if a good man showed up, you can't recognize him because you keep right on talking about your husband, your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even see him because your ex-husband is still in your head. And so, you know, we have to give ourselves closure. Now, how do we do that? We tell ourselves the truth, number one, and number two, we get some help. I mean, it really baffles me how we women can come out of a marriage, go find money to go back to school, find money to get a new hairdo, a new outfit, start a new company. We can do all these things, but yet we don't want to invest in getting help, whether it's a therapist if you're really, really stuck and having PTSD, or a life coach if you're ready to move on and you need to get the last bit of residue off of you or get your vision right for moving forward. So it's like people will make so many excuses for reasons they can't move forward, but you'll see them making great strides in every other area of their lives, but are not willing to do what they need to do to get the help to heal the hemorrhage or heal that blood, that bleeding from that wound. That baffles me, because we're talking about a person's life. We're talking about their ability to be free and to be open and to thrive and not to be in prison in their own minds, afraid to move forward. You know, as long as there's no man in the picture, I'm fine. As soon as a man winks at me, says hello to me, as soon as I run into somebody who's attractive and flips my script or rings my bell, now I'm grasping for everything because I'm scared to death. My thing is work on yourself now.
I think a lot of women feel very defeated after these marriages, and they still take some on responsibility that's really not theirs to take. And internally, they keep telling themselves, if I could have done this differently or that differently. And sometimes it's those messages are being fed to them by their ex-husbands or their, you know, current husbands, once again, externalizing the blame, you know, these men, instead of internalizing it. And it just reminds me that when I've talked to several men, not most men, most men don't tell me this, most men feel very bad about the situation when they come to me. But there have been several, and it just really angers me when they say, well, yes, it's true I'm gay, and it's true that, you know, we've had differences, but trust me, it's not the gay why we're having problems. You know, we have other issues.
Like they just don't get this. They really think that the gay is not the issue. You know, that she's too pushy, she's too demanding. It wouldn't matter if I was straight. She's too, you know, she always suspects that I'm going somewhere. I said, but you are. You know,
exactly.
Why are you telling me? She always suspects you are going somewhere. You're going with other men. So why are you thinking she's too suspecting when she's suspecting the right thing, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, they try to make these excuses and tell me that the marriage would have ended anyway because they're not compatible. They are, they aren't compatible because they're both looking for the same thing. They're looking for a loving, caring man. So I guess, no, they're not compatible. But
and
women, once the marriages are over, you know, I think they have to, before they get to the point of even saying, I got to get fixed, you know, I got to see what's wrong with me as far as why I'm not being able to move ahead, you know, they have to accept the fact that these marriages are such distortions of life, and they really do take their toll on who you are as a person. And it really reminds me a lot, I don't know if you ever, I know you're familiar with Alice Walker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the writer who wrote,
Right.
You know, she's really a very, you know, she wrote The Color Purple.
Right.
But she also wrote the story called In My Mother's Garden. And, you know, she spoke about how when her mother was, you know, when they were growing up, they were very poor, very, very poor. And this was, you know, back in the early 1900s, her mother was born and moving up and in the South, and it was just a horrible life. But she said that, you know, her mother was something, either the relationship or wherever she was living, she was very artistic, but she didn't have the ability to, you know, do what she wanted to do. So the way she did it, you know, she did it through planting flowers and in her garden. And this is how she showed her artistic side of her. But, you know, who she could have been if she had the right job or the right nurturing or the right family or the right circumstances, maybe she could have been some very famous artist. And I say the same thing for our women. If we would have been in marriages where we were having, you know, ourselves sprinkled and showered with love and affection and, you know, unconditional support and praise as, you know, as you need to be, instead of being made to feel as if you're a failure and you're always doing things that aren't right, or you don't look right, or you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too busty, you're not busty enough, you know, you smell, I'm embarrassed to be with you. You know, when you get all these messages, because these men just can't be honest, so they're, you know, making you feel that bad so you won't want to have sex with them, you know, those are become internal messages that are not easy to get rid of overnight. And I see it happening to so many of our women. They think they're better, and they're not better.
Exactly.
They're in a better place because they're not with their gay husbands, but they're not better inside. They're still feeling like, you know, desperate
and
straight wives.
Yeah, and the thing about that, which makes it even more dangerous, is let's say they do go out, and there's a heterosexual man ready to shower them with attention and all that kind of thing. And then let's say this man, who, by the way, sharks come in all garden varieties, ladies, gay, straight, whatever, there are sharks. And let's say this shark preys on your vulnerability. Then what ends up happening is you run the risk of coming out of this thing even more scarred, because you feel like you're darned if you're with a gay man, and you're darned if you're with a straight man. So where else is there for you to go? It's almost like your self-esteem that was already at an all-time low. Now you get with a straight man, and the straight man messes with you. So now it knocks your self-esteem even lower. And so that's why I say it's important to run, not walk, to someone who can help you before you even get involved with somebody else. Because no matter what your hormones are telling you and your libido is telling you and your vajayjay and your wonderful areas are telling you, no matter what's going on around, down, wherever, you can't let that be what thinks for you, because it's not reliable. is not reliable. Flag on the play. It's not going to work. Because let me tell you something. Good men, generally, good men are not going to stay, even if it's a good man. A good man cannot really stay with a woman who is, you know, shut off completely emotionally without being able to give him something to work with. You got to be able to give him something to work with. Something inside of you has to be able to allow him to love you, to allow him to treat you nice, to allow him, because even a good man can be turned off from you if you stop him and block him. No, he's trying to respond in a healthy way, and you're so messed up, you're so suspicious of everything he does, he can't even love you.
Well, and the first thing is that I think that we should mention also, Suzette, is that you cannot, you shouldn't expect that some nice good man is going to be the one to heal you.
Exactly.
Just like you kept trying to be the, you know, wonderful wife and heal your ex-husband who was gay, and he couldn't heal because he's gay. It's not that, you know, you could do anything to change who he was. You can't expect now that some man's going to come there and fix you like you were trying to fix your ex-husband.
It's true,
because
Bonnie,
that's
but
not
so
going
many
to be
women
happening,
out there.
Right?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but there's still a lot of women that have this, you know, prince mentality, that this man, this wonderful man, is going to come riding on a white horse, and he's going to swim the moat, and he's going to storm the castle walls, and he's going to rescue the damsel in distress and take her away from this terrible, lonely situation. But the truth of the matter of that is, a lot of us are waiting for princes, but the truth of the matter is, we don't want no prince, because after a while you find out there is no future in it. All he wants to do is rescue and then go and rescue somebody else, and, you know, and you know, there's no stability.
You have to go into a relationship healed. You must be healed before you can start a relationship, or you're just going
to
get more broken.
Yes.
You know, you may think
you're
doing better
because
you found somebody, but you're going to start resenting that person after a while, because a lot of these men are going to be using you.
True. And a lot of times I tell people this. There are many people who have found great relationships. It's not that you have to be perfect. We're not talking about you got to be perfect, because there are some things, some wounds that even if we get 50% healed, the man will have to carry you a certain amount, you know, further. He'll take you the rest of the way. But I always say you got to give him something to work with. And many of us have not healed enough to be able to give a relationship something to work with.
You know, I want to say something, and I hope that, you know, you can add into this.
True.
Because women haven't been in, quote, normal relationships for so long or ever, when they meet somebody and that person may just be looking to have, you know, be nice to them, you know, because they're looking maybe for a sexual relationship, you know, because that's how men are. Men want sex.
Oh,
you don't have to feel
do.
Obligated to do it with them if it doesn't feel right for you. You know, I've had women who just feel, well, because now somebody loves me and somebody needs me, I'm going to go have sex with them. And even if I don't really want to, it's just part of what I have to do to keep this going.
Yeah, and the
is
other
it really?
Side of it, too. And the other side, Bonnie, is then we don't want to be so oversaturated with the desire to have sex that if a good man refuses us, we accuse him of being gay. Because that's the other side of it. You know, to be like, oh, you know, you have flashbacks. Okay, this man don't want to have sex with me. He must be gay. Not necessarily. A good man does not want to take advantage of a vulnerable woman.
And that's important for women to understand.
Yeah. A good man doesn't want to take advantage of you. He doesn't. And even if you don't think you're desperate, men know how to pick up on desperation like you better than we do.
I bet they do. And I'm hoping that some of these men will talk about that during, you know, your seminar.
Oh, yeah, they keep, oh, honey, they bring the real at this seminar. They bring the real. That's why I said it's so important for us to understand how men think and how they process.
Maybe you could bring some bad men on the show. I mean, get some predators
well, you know,
on there.
You know what? You know what, though? A lot of these men admit that they were once fools, and they tell you what made them foolish. So they take you, you know, because they say, you know, fool, prince, king. They tell you how men represent that are fools. And they tell you how men represent that are in that prince stage. And they tell you how men represent who are kings. And that's why I think it's so wonderful, because it's almost like they leave no doubt. They leave no doubt. And then I think the part that I play is I'm able to talk female speak. So even though the men are giving it to us, talking like men do, I'm able to ask the questions and say, okay, so this is what you're saying. Or, okay, some of my listeners are listening, and we as women will take it this way. Now, are you saying that, or are you saying something different? So we kind of get into a dialogue that allows women to hear it in a way that they can understand it. And
I think that is wonderful for our women who really haven't been out there and who may be thinking about, it's going to be my time soon. I feel like I'm healing, and or maybe not quite healed yet, but I want to start looking for someone so they can maybe avoid some of these pitfalls.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sign up, they have their choice to listen to as much or as little as they can or want to or what.
Yes, they do. And what we're also doing during the broadcast in August, we're going to also have the You Ask Good Men Answers Facebook page, where speakers will be, you know, responding to posts and comments and ahas. So, you know, I have not made it a mandatory thing for the speakers, but there have been quite a few who have already become a part of the page, who are looking forward to comments and ahas and questions and challenges and, you know, I didn't get it when you said this. Can you tell me more about it? They're looking forward to it. And so it not only gives women a chance to listen to information, but it also allows them during the summit to be able to have a dialogue where they can get their questions answered. So I think this would be a wonderful opportunity for our women, regardless of whether they're still in the marriages or not. Because, like I said, now is a good time to have truth. You don't have to wait till you get out of the marriage to have truth. You need to have truth to even get out. You need to have truth.
And that's really true. I think that by listening to these men and by hearing what they say and really giving you a different perspective of what a relationship is about and what a marriage is about. Maybe, are any of them available?
A couple of them are single.
That's what I'm talking about. You never know how you're going to meet your next
Prince
Charming,
right? Wait a minute,
straight
wives. Y'all ain't ready. Wait, straight wives, you're not ready. Just pipe on down.
Well, a couple of people might be ready. Suzette.
Well, they might be. You might be.
We have to keep our minds open so we can make a match somewhere along the line. Maybe. You never know, right? It's an odder way to meet people.
Right. Hey, you never
know. You never know how you're
going to
meet your Prince Charming for the future.
Yeah, you're
king, but it takes
honey.
A lot of work. And, you know, you have a wonderful relationship with your husband because you really worked at having a wonderful relationship. I think women need to know this, that it just doesn't happen magically, even though it may feel like it's happening magically. Don't let that fool you, right?
No, I worked hard. Can y'all hear me? I worked hard on myself to get here.
Uh-huh.
I worked hard to get here. And so if you think it's going to be easy, I'm going to tell you now it's not, but it will be worth it. That's what I'll tell you. It won't be easy. You're going to have to work hard, probably harder than it took for you to stay in the marriage. It's going to take you that much harder work to be free from it, you know, but it's worth it. it's worth it. One foot in front of the other, going toward what you envision for your life, it is worth it, ladies. It is worth it.
Yeah, and especially for those of you who, I do want to add in, because I don't want people to feel that there's something wrong with them if they're not looking for a relationship. That's absolutely fine. Not everybody is looking to be involved in a, you know, relationship with someone else. Some women are very happy on their own, and they don't have that need to have to find someone. And I think that's healthy also. You know, you don't have to be with someone to feel healthy, right?
Oh, most definitely. I totally agree with Bonnie if that is truly where you are. But if you are hiding out and telling yourself that, when at the core it's just that you don't trust yourself or don't trust men and you're intimidated by them, then I feel like part of your journey would be to build your confidence. And then from a place of confidence, you decide whether you want to be in a relationship or you don't.
Right. But some women really, you know, have been leading their lives on their own, and they are really happy. And I like to acknowledge them, that sometimes just having a relationship with your friends, your family, that can be fulfilling, that you don't have to have a man in your life to fulfill you. You know, Suzette and I have been very lucky, and, you know, we found men who can fulfill us. But I know other women who have been, I've been friends with from the beginning when I started the support group, you know, 16 years ago, and they're doing really well, and they're not really looking for another relationship, and I don't know if they ever will. They're really happy, and that's, I think, what the bottom line is. You have to find your happiness, and you have to find your comfort level, but if you're looking to go into another relationship at a later point, that's fine, but you have to do it the right way, or you're going to be left behind like you were before, you know, making bad choices.
And what I wanted to add, what Bonnie was saying, many, many times, when women are happy and aren't looking for a relationship, it's when one comes. And a lot of times they think they are just super fine until that relationship approaches them. And then they're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, what now? And so my thing is this. It's not going to hurt a woman whether she is looking or not looking to be informed about
men.
That way, regardless of whether it happens, doesn't happen, she goes skipping through the tulips and never a man does she want. But the thing that gets us is that we're tipping through the tulips and then a man shows up that rings our bell and we realize that what we went through has laid dormant all that time and now here it comes. So my thing is prepare anyway.
And not only that, but if you have daughters, you know, who are into adulthood and they're looking to meet someone, even if you're not, you know, I strongly suggest it's a free seminar, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So it's not like
you're paying. Make sure your daughter's a certain age because we really go in.
It's for adults only.
It's for adults. Yes.
Adult
please
conversation only. But if you have an adult daughter who's looking to find, you know, check out what she should be looking for, you know, in a good man, this is, you know, a really good opportunity for your daughters to also get involved in something that you can do with your daughters. You know, if you have an adult daughter, you can listen together, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great. That was wonderful. What a great conversation.
And if you have sisters,
God.
Not only your daughters, but also sisters. And I'm going to tell my sisters about it.
Sisters, aunties, grandma. Grandma might want to still get her groove on. But you need to be informed.
I don't think it matters what age you are. If you're looking for a man, you better be looking for the right man looking for some game players, right?
That's right. Leave the fools alone.
So I will have this information in my, you know, upcoming newsletter. And also, Suzette has a website for it. Tell them the website again.
Yes.
Is it on your coach website, too?
I think it is. If not, I'll make sure it's up there. It's statisticsbedarn.com. So www.statistics, that's STATISTICS, B Darned, D-A-R-N-E-D, Statistics Be Darned, .com.
Okay, and if not, then just write to me, and you know, I'll be happy to send you to the website. Also, Suzette has a new web address, and I'm so excited about it.
Yes, I know you are.
I am. More than you know. I even put it on our little thing for the radio show tonight. It's on your the information on there.
Oh,
it was so nice to write it down. CoachSuzette.com.
Yay!
I love it.
Yay!
Now, for all those of you who can't remember the spelling of your non-Hinton, any of her last names, Purposeful Connections, which is really a tough one, Coach Suzette,
yes.
SUZETTE.com. I mean,
yes,
you can't
indeed.
Get much better than that.
You can't get much better than
Maybe
that.
You can get, like, bestcoach.com.
Oh,
did you check that
stop.
One out? That's easier. And it's
no,
true.
No, Bonnie, we keep in Coach Suzette.
But for
well,
those people
for
who
compliment.
Don't even live near Suzette, you don't have to. Suzette can do Skyping. She can do telephone coaching, letter
yes.
coaching, email coaching. And you can look at her wonderful website at CoachSuzette.com and,
yes.
you know, see her books. She's also an author of three books now, or four?
Yeah, three.
Okay.
There might be a fourth one after this summit, though. I tell you, some of these nuggets these men are dropping, I might have to do
mm-hmm.
another one.
I think that's a great idea for a book, Suzette.
Yeah.
The one that all women will need to be reading, right?
Yes, you
are. So are you doing anything special for the 4th of July?
You know, I'm just going to relax as best I can. I've been really in the throes of planning this summit, but thank goodness I've got a little help. So I think I might be able to just kind of relax a little bit and just do all kinds of nothing. You know, go play in perfume or buy a new lipstick or something. I don't know.
Yes, I feel I have 3 days off a year, and tomorrow is one of them. So
good.
I'm going to just be doing
good.
Nothing. I'm going to be playing games on the computer. I think I'll play, you know.
Like
yeah, it will be, because I haven't done that for a while, like Bubble Town or something like that. But I do want to let all our women know. I know that holiday times are tough times, and especially if you're in a situation that – where you're not happy and, you know, something's going to be happening soon and you're living with anxiety or you're going through this. And holidays just seem to accentuate, you know, the loneliness of having the family you were hoping that you would have. And if you need support, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. You know, I'm here for you to help you through whatever trauma, set you up with pain pals, support groups, whatever you need. You know, you don't have to walk through this alone. You know, there's lots of support out there. And you may feel like you're the only one going through this, but Suzette, and I will tell you, there's millions of us, right?
Oh, yes, more than you know,
It's so amazing that there's so many of us, and yet you always feel so isolated while you're going through this.
Yeah,
so.
That's why I'm so glad for your, you know, your retreat, Bonnie, because I had a chance to meet some wonderful women, you know?
Yeah,
so
they are wonderful women.
Was really great.
I know, and that's what you need to get through this. You need sisters who can help you through it. You need your own family who can understand what you're going through, and that's why we have this kind of support. So, you know, Suzette, I love you. I do want to wish a very happy birthday to a special guy, Scott. It was his birthday yesterday, or July 1st, and he always likes to listen to your show. So, Scott,
wonderful.
We're wishing you happy birthday, right?
Happy birthday, Scott.
Can you sing it for him before we go?
I was just thinking about that.
Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Scott. Happy birthday to you.
That was beautiful, Suzette. You know, I love you.
I love you too, baby.
All right, and we'll talk to you again next month. Have a wonderful month. All right, good night, ladies. We love you.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.